Well, as tensions rose this week between Iran and the United States, Saudi Arabia was watching closely. The country is a U.S. ally and a rival of Iran. Joining us now from Riyadh is Vivian Nierheim, who's a reporter with Bloomberg News. Vivian, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, and how has this recent flare-up between the U.S. and Iran affected Saudi Arabia?
Well, something that a lot of people forget, because Saudi Arabia, of course, has in the past taken a very hawkish tone towards Iran, is that if war were actually going to break out, Saudi Arabia would be, you know, among the countries that would face potential retaliation and could actually be severely hurt security-wise, economy-wise. So what we've seen during this last flare-up is Saudi officials really sending a message far and wide that we want de-escalation. We do not want to see this turn into a military confrontation. You know, can wiser heads prevail? And let's think about the sort of risk to the region. Because obviously, if there were to be sort of a retaliatory attack to one of the Gulf countries or Saudi Arabia itself, that would really hurt Saudi Arabia, and particularly at a time when they need things to be peaceful, when they need things to be good for their economy, because they're hosting the G20 this year. They're trying to bring in foreign investors. They're trying to bring in tourists. This is not the time when you want to have a war kind of right around the corner.
Well, and it was just a few months ago that missile and drone strikes on Saudi oil facilities did a lot of damage to oil production there, and Saudi Arabia blamed Iran for that attack, although Iran denied responsibility. Do you think that the Saudis were caught off guard by the killing of Soleimani by the United States?
So that's an interesting question, because there have been a couple of media reports suggesting that Saudi Arabia was not informed or consulted ahead of time. But it doesn't seem surprising that perhaps this was, you know, a very quick attack that Saudi Arabia was not informed about, was caught off guard about. It's interesting that you mentioned the attack in September, because Saudi Arabia actually just stopped short of blaming Iran for that attack, which was really interesting at the time. And a lot of people took that as a sign of Saudi Arabia trying to de-escalate and realizing we don't actually want more. So they did go as far as to say Iranian weapons were used, and they even said the attack was launched from the north. But I remember being at press conferences where we asked them, was Iran behind this? And they would not quite go there. They would stop short of that.
Okay. And in terms of the killing of Soleimani, were the Saudis happy about it, do you think? Or do they think that it was not good for them?
Well, there's been a real mixture of feelings, because on the one hand, Soleimani is, you know, somebody who's kind of widely viewed here as a war criminal and a state-sponsored terrorist who had caused mayhem around the region through proxy wars, supporting militias. So there was actually quite a lot of celebration in the Saudi media and from Saudi pundits and commentators. But at the same time, you did see simultaneous kind of concern and worry about the potential for that to escalate into a wider conflict. So you saw people saying, we're glad Soleimani's dead, but let's be careful that this doesn't turn into a war.
You know, I was wondering, as people were talking about General Soleimani and the fact that he was really the military commander for all of Iran's activities, what effect his death will have on the war in Yemen, which has been kind of a proxy war between Iran and Saudi Arabia?
It's, I think, a bit too early to say, but we've already seen, even before Soleimani's death, steps and effort toward ending Saudi Arabia's involvement in the war in Yemen. If that, I mean, at this point, the war in Yemen has really devolved into this complex civil war, you know, merged with famine and this horrible humanitarian catastrophe. So I don't think we can really talk about an end to the war in any easy or fast way. But you do see that Saudi Arabia does seem to be moving towards trying to disengage and trying to kind of end their role in that conflict, which seems to be part of a broader strategy to take a step back from some of the crises and conflicts that the kingdom has gotten involved in over the past couple of years.
Does it appear to you that because of the recent flare-up in tensions, that maybe there is a chance right now for the long-standing rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia to kind of cool down, for them to move toward a détente?
That's a very good question, and something that a lot of people are asking in the region right now, for two reasons. First of all, because there have been reports of some sort of talks perhaps going on between Saudi Arabia and Iran, whether those have been through intermediaries, perhaps Iraq or Pakistan, or whether those have been more kind of tier two unofficial think tank level engagements is not really clear. But there has been a lot of chatter about, you know, are Saudi Arabia and Iran actually engaging in talks over the past few months, you know, prior to this killing? And then the second question is whether the killing of Soleimani ultimately could perhaps open up some space for Saudi Arabia and Iran to have some sort of talk, because he was a large roadblock, you know, in the view of Saudi Arabia and other Gulf countries towards any kind of negotiation with Iran, because they viewed his role in these proxy wars and et cetera as something they just couldn't stomach, you know, and now he's gone.
Vivian Nierheim, a reporter for Bloomberg based in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Vivian, thank you.
Thank you so much.